The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. What better after Christmas to talk about family? Oh, it'll be spiritual family, relax. Plus, the seven uniting factors of our faith. And remember, we need to keep the faith, so that must mean we already have it.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, so if you have some praise reports you want to share, prayer requests, all that's good, plus trivia. Keep in mind, it's simple to do because it's not professional radio. I don't know how you don't know that by now. It is many, many, many things. Professional radio, it is not one of those. Tierra is hanging out with me today, by the way. She's running the entire station.
I'm trying.
You are the general manager, the broadcaster. You are the engineer and the producer.
Yep, sounds about right.
Now, if they'd only pay you that along those lines, it'd be worth it.
It would. It really would.
I know it would. All right, folks, here it is. It's simple. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. A lot of people are like, you're alive after Christmas? You mean I'm alive after Christmas? Yes, I'm doing fine. Thank you. Did you have a nice Christmas, by the way, Tara? Was it decent?
I did. It was very peaceful. It was relaxing. How was yours?
It was peaceful and relaxing. I will tell you right now that after being a Christian for over 40 years, I spent more time with the Lord in my devotions than I have spent with the Lord ever on Christmas. It was one of those weird, I probably spent an hour and a half in prayer and about an hour and a half in Bible study. And I was thinking, maybe I should do this more since it's Christmas and everybody's out of town. It was kind of like a good timing for my wife and I to go
relax.
Yeah. And she actually got a pie. I'm just going to say this. People are going to get upset, but just relax. She got a pie that was, she likes pumpkin and I like pecan. And she actually found a pie that was half pumpkin, half pecan.
Best of both worlds.
I'm telling you. There's one bite left of each. I had to sample a lot of hers just to make sure it wouldn't hurt her. That was my goal in that whole process. Let's give acknowledgement to our sponsor, Clint and Mr. Restore.
Save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, wind cleanup, flood cleanup, smoke cleanup. I think the big phrase there is cleanup. There's a lot of stuff that they do. They help you out. If you've got a property, you're a realtor, or if you're a property manager, or if you're somebody that you're looking at your house and you're like, what happened? Why is the flood of Babel right here in my room? Then you want to get in touch with Mr. Restore and Clint. They have advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated, and they have thousands. Billions of happy customers, MrRestore.com, MrRestore.com. You can also reach them by going to our website, DavidSpoonMedia.com, and from there, there's a link to Mr. Restore. Okay, before we get into the expository teaching, by the way, it is Thursday, so it's expository teaching time. So if you're sitting there, you're thinking, well, he's going to talk about this, he's going to talk about this. Thursdays are expository teaching time, and I just love what we're going to be talking about. I hope it's a blessing for you. I hope it's a blessing for everybody. But before we get there, there's a couple things we need to acknowledge, and poor Tier, stuck in the middle of this. Do you know what holiday it is today for the day after Christmas? Do you have any idea what holiday are rocking right now?
It's the day after Christmas.
That's a good one. I'm going to give you credit for that. It's typically it's National Candy Cane Day because all the candy canes are left over, so everybody's eating them. It is also National Whiners Day. You're thinking, how did they get that?
Like wine?
Yeah, like crying, whining, you know, like some cheese with that wine kind of thing.
Oh,
because, no, actually people that are whining are complaining because they didn't get all the presents, it's the next day, and so they're whining. But the last thing it is, for those that don't know, it's National Thank You Note Day. So this is the day you write thank yous to all the people that did, gave you Christmas presents. You know, now we do email or we do text or whatever, but back in the day, they used to do thank you notes. And how do I know that? Well, it's simple, because a very short... 45 years ago, moi, who in the early December part had to have his bar mitzvah, was required by my mom, to write thank you notes. There are many things that I had a hard time with my mom and I in. And, you know, if you heard my testimony yesterday, I went down a pretty dark path for a little while. But writing thank you notes was the most difficult thing that I have encountered.
Same. I had to write thank you notes for my graduation. It was difficult.
It was, right? It's so hard. It's like, thank you. And then you have to come up with all this other stuff. Whereas now you could copy paste, if you were doing it that way.
Very true.
That didn't happen that way. All right. Let's name three quick things that happened on this date back in the day in 1865. A coffee percolator was first patented by James H. Nason. Just so that you know, 1993 on this day, the FM frequency modulation radio was patented. And in 1982, Time Magazine, back in the day when Time Magazine used to mean something, but it doesn't mean anything anymore, Time Magazine back then had Man of the Year as a personal computer. That's about the last time they were relevant was 1982. So we'll just move on from there. Let's get into Expository Teaching Thursday. So let's get ready because we got some really cool stuff we want to cover. I just want to recap so everybody knows what we're going into. In Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, as the Holy Spirit was leading Paul, he talked about our position in Christ. In chapters 4, 5, and 6, it is now the practice that we have in Christ. So for the first three chapters, we got to see our position, where we stood, where how the Lord redeemed us, how salvation is connected to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of this transfers, by the way, that's in chapter one. And if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to the podcast. And all of this transfers over to now we go into the second half of the book, chapters 4, 5, and 6, which is the practicality of our position. And last week, we started this off, and it was funny because in the very beginning, Paul talks about the exhortation for unity, and now in this section that we're going to cover today, he's talking about the explanation of the unity. So chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 3, that's the kind of the exhortation to unity. In verses 4, 5, and 6, now he's going to give us the explanations. Now he's going to explain it, so we're going to go aha or aha if you really know what the good joke is. All right, only got a couple minutes. Let's just start off in the very beginning. It says this is verse 4, make every effort, this is verse 3 actually, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Here we go, 7 declarations he makes. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So now we're talking about unity, and what Paul is doing is he's moving the conversation. This is why Ephesians is such an important letter in the church. He moves the conversation from position to practice, and in the practice part, he says, well, okay, here's what I'm going to encourage you to be unified, and now we're talking about what is it that unifies us. And so it's the practicalities that we're getting into it. Of course, we see in this section, in these seven things, you're going to see the Trinity again. This is the fifth time Paul has made reference to the Trinity in Ephesians. So it's amazing how many times it happens. But here he starts off and he says something absolutely amazing. He says there is one body. Okay, now watch. There are a multitude of denominations. Have you noticed? There are a multitude of people that have different backgrounds, different theological upbringings, different approaches, different mindsets, but not in the economy and in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there is not Baptist and Pentecostal and Church of Christ and Methodist and Presbyterian and Lutheran. That's not how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works this way. The illustration is very simple. You have a body. Yes, I have a body. And for many people who've not gone through war or not had any disease or anything happen to them, they have all of their capacities within their body. And in lieu of that, they will have shoulders and arms and elbows, and they will have wrists and hands. They will have fingers. They will have a chest and a stomach, and they'll have sides, and they'll have, you know, the thighs and the kneecaps, and they'll have ankles and feet and toes, all these different elements. Guess what? It's one body, one. And in your own life, and Paul goes into this in 1 Corinthians 12, in your own life, just because your hand, which is exceedingly important in your functionalities, is not your elbow, does not make the hand more important than the elbow or the elbow less important than the hand. It's all part of the body. And the believers are seen in the eyes of God as a family. Now, if you will be forward and fully honest, you will say that even sometimes at Christmas and Thanksgiving, family can get kind of tenacious. It can get kind of fighty. You can get into some different things, but it's still one family. Going to take a short break and then come back with the rest of our teaching on this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand
the skill. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. My hope is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Keep in mind, if you want to get any of the music from the show, the bumper music, livinginhisgrip.com is the place to do that. Our email here, by the way, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com, where we are looking to do our best to advance what we're doing in radio ministry, in not just in stations, but in time. So you can be in prayer for us for that. And in fact, we have not a debate, but a discussion. And it's one of those weird things, because as we have the work, we're transitioning the work from a business to a ministry, which is a fascinating process, by the way. And there's two names that have risen to the top. And most, it's really funny, because I've asked all the people in kind of like my circle, if I could tell you it's split down the middle, you could just laugh and laugh and laugh. So there's two names that we're praying about. One of those names is Spirit-Led Bible-Grounded Ministries, which is an excellent name. And then the other one is According to His Purpose Ministries. So if you want to do me a favor, you can just pray about it, and which one kind of, you know, clicks to you. If you want to send us an email and give us your input, we'd be I'm just interested to hear at this point. I'd like to know what people think. davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. So that is Spirit-Led Bible-Grounded Ministries or According to His Purpose Ministries. Both are excellent and have much, much power, much weight into them. Okay, let's get into, we'll do our trivia in the next segment. If you're thinking that you're ready to do some trivia, I got a very, very interesting trivia question to come in your direction in just a little bit. I do have Johnny Hill coming on the show tomorrow. That should be a lot of fun. Let's get into the text right back to it. We're talking about the factors or the foundations or the characteristics that Paul lists as he was writing Ephesians by the verbal plenary process of writing scripture. And he writes these seven different elements: one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And so he talks about these seven different things. Notice the Trinity is in there: one Spirit, one Lord, one God, the God and Father of all. And so what we're going to do is just look at these, and we already looked at one body, and here's the reality check. Stop getting mad, beating up, or disliking people that don't think the way you think or don't process the way you process. You're not allowed to do that, because Scripture doesn't allow you to do that. It doesn't give us any chance to fulfill John 13:35, which says, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, by your love one for another, not by your denominational stance." And some people will say the only way to be unified is in doctrine, and it's like, well, then tell Paul he's wrong. It's like, okay, here you go. He's saying we're supposed to keep the unity. Here's where the unity is listed: one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father. It's like, okie dokie. And so as we look at that, you look at one body and you think, yeah, we need to have a little bit better response there in regards to our body. You might be in a different position than body, but look at it's 12 tribes in Israel. How many nations? 12 tribes in Israel. All right, let's do a trivia question. 12 tribes in Israel. How many nations?
One.
It's not Israel, Israel light, Israel medium, Israel heavy. It's Israel. And Levi and the tribe of Levi and the tribe of Reuben weren't the same, but everybody was a part of it. Get it? That's how the church needs to think. So we talk about one body. Now the next thing that is mentioned is one spirit, one Holy Spirit. one life-giving spirit. I will say this, and if you heard my testimony yesterday, you know, and I'm playing the testimony again on New Year's, which, by the way, went great, so it sounded great, and I was real happy with it. The bottom line is that the Holy Spirit is a part of your life. When you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came into your life. Does that mean that you were open to everything the Holy Spirit was doing in your life? No. Are you kidding? And then there's the people that go around and they go, well, listen, once you have the Holy Spirit, there's nothing, you don't have to have any more of the Holy Spirit. It's just, well, then when Paul said be filled with the Holy Spirit, he must have been drunk or something, because that doesn't make any sense. And then not only that, but once the disciples did their preach, they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Guess what? In Acts chapter 4 and 5, they get filled with the Holy Spirit again. Well, how does that happen?
Gee, let's think that through.
I mean, think about that. Let's see, in Acts 2, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Again. Right? You know, this is not rocket science. It's not all that complex. What happens is that people get saved, and it's not like the Holy Spirit's sitting in Pluto, and then the Father's there and the Son's there, and you say yes to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit says, well, I'm not coming yet. Okay, that's just dumb. So don't do that. Don't think that way. You can imagine, when you, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. So, I mean, if that's the fullness of the Godhead, then bing, there you go. Eat a Jesus cookie, you get the whole thing. Does that mean that you're open to everything? No. You should know better than that. You should know how God has moved you along in your life at different times in different ways and grown and taught you. And at different moments in your life, you know your sensitivity to being led by God and directed by God has increased. And your relationship with God is increased, unless you're one of the chosen frozen and you haven't done anything with your faith. And the bottom line to that process is you grow and you develop and you learn to walk. And this is all from the same Holy Spirit. Well, that process you go through is the same process everybody going through. We're all going through that. Some people are a little further along. Some people are a little not further along. Yeah. Such is life. When you go to the gym, a place that I haven't been to for a couple days and won't be for another couple days. When you go to the gym, what do you notice? Not everybody's in the exact same place. You got one guy who's lifting weights, and you're thinking, if that feather hits that guy wrong, it's over, right? He can't lift weights. Then you got another guy who's lifting half the building with one arm. Guess what? Because they're in different stages. So what? As long as they're at the gym, they're trying to move it forward. That's the whole point. And we have one Holy Spirit that we do. It's not, well, it's one Spirit for charismatics, it's one Spirit for Pentecostals, it's one Spirit for the Church of Christ, one Spirit for Methodists. One Spirit for Baptists, all different. It's like you're thinking of the different spirits. It's the same Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it's like, this isn't God. God's not splitting it up. It's not different spirits over here. Oh, you better watch those charismatics. What? You watch them lead people to Christ? Good idea. Then you can learn. That's kind of like my attitude about this. Stop doing that. That's why I have a Baptist, a Pentecostal, and a charismatic ordination, because it's like, you know, there's things in all these things that are great. And we need to think along those lines. But the next one is my fave. I confess. It's one body, one spirit, one hope. Now, your hope might be more centered into eschatologically the trumpet blowing and believing in a premillennial dispensational rapture. Okay, for those that don't know what that means that before anything happens, there's a trumpet that goes off and everybody hits the road and is taken up. Okay, nothing wrong with that. Some agree with that. Some don't. Just don't think of it that it'll happen that way. But that is not the end of the hope for premillennial dispensationalists, and it's not the only hope that exists. The hope for all of us is that we are going to spend eternity with God with unlimited joy. I will tell you this, the idea of spending eternity with God and having it be terrible is hell. I don't know what else you can't possibly think any other way. Well, I'm going to spend eternity with God, and I'm going to play the harp. Sit on my cloud and read the magazines from my dentist's office. That sounds like heaven? Whew, that doesn't sound good to me. One hope, eternity, with unlimited joy, where we dance on streets of gold and we bounce up and down and we worship the Lord. And maybe for the first million years, nobody does anything and we just worship the Lord. Sounds good. I'm cool. Works for me. And maybe there's big houses and little houses and roads and this, and we know there's going to be plants and there's going to be some kind of national formation. There's going to be something, because Revelation 21 and 22 gives us a little bit of it, but we don't really get it all. And all we can say, and I give credit to all the ministers before me who've said this, is if it took God 6 days to build the world and the universe, and this is what we got, imagine what he's going to bring to us after 2,000 years. Like, okay, I'll take it. Why? Because it's awesome. Talk about awesome sauce. That's our hope, is the most awesome sauce in the world. We get to live forever, dance on streets of gold, and enjoy it. No tears, no tragedy, no bummer. One company that's going out of business when we get to heaven is going to be trauma therapists. They're out. Because there ain't going to be any more trauma that takes place in heaven. I was going to say Kleenex, but I did figure if the first 1,000,000 years we're all crying and weeping and worshiping the Lord, they could still be a business. That could be, you know. But if you just think that through, it's like our hope is the coolest thing ever. It's our unified hope. It puts us together, brings us together, it connects us together. We're going to live forever together. You might as well start getting along with one another, because one way or another, you're hanging out with one another. It's one way or another. And it's an unlimited joy. And it's one of the things that I've talked about before. In this body, you can't handle, I can't handle the presence of God 24/7. Our bodies would explode. But in our resurrected, glorified bodies, we'll be able to be in the presence of God 24/7 and have that joy and the gracefulness of that presence and the power of that presence just exploding in our lives with no limitation, just powering into us, going all through all the time. Man, that is a cool hope. In his presence is the fullness of joy. And we can't even handle that now. But when we're in heaven, we will be able to handle that. That, my friends, that is cool. Yeah, we got to, isn't that cool? I mean, I know we got to break through, but isn't that just like the coolest? It's like, yeah, I want to be happy forever and not explode. I love it. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break. You'll hear the stuff that's in the middle. We're coming back. And believe me, I got a lot more. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever, next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off. Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen. And somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed. And I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that. It was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just so that you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background. And so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
it was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So, anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Now, why that email is important, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Because if you have an opinion on our ministry name, I'd love to hear it. Not that I'm going to use that as what we do, but I like hearing different insight from people. So we have two ministry names that we're working with as we transition the business from a business into a ministry. And the first one is Spirit-Led Bible-Grounded Ministries. That's number one, Spirit-Led Bible-Grounded Ministries. And then the other one is According to His Purpose Ministries. According to His Purpose Ministries. So the reason that you're thinking, well, why do you have two? And what's going on with that? Well, because I've spent about 3 weeks drilling down on 50,000 names because I want the name to be right. Spirit-Led Bible Grounded kind of defines how our walk is and how it should be anyway, that we should be Spirit-Led but Bible grounded. And then According to His Purpose comes into Romans 8:28, where it says, you know, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. So you kind of see how that ties together. What do you think? Do you have any opinion? You don't have to really have an opinion, but you might. You know, either one, you don't care, do you?
I don't really have an opinion of it, but
you're probably like going, why'd you ask me that, Dave? Wait, because tomorrow I'm going to ask you again.
Let me go ahead and start studying.
Yeah, start this way. You thought, I'm just doing sound. Leave me alone, pal. All right. davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com. We're talking about the unity factors that take place in the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, you get to see in verse 3 that Paul says, through the verbal plenary process of the Holy Spirit, using him to write what was desired from the Lord to be communicated to mankind. And oh, by the way, for those who don't get it, God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Okay, so let's just keep it simple. It's not hard. Just keep it easy. And so in these seven unities, we find one body, one spirit, one hope. We're going to get into, we should probably just get into it. There's just so much material. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. So let's make this really, I'm trying to keep it a little Christmassy. I don't know if that's going to work, but I'm trying. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. These are the last four. One Lord Jesus Christ, one Savior. I got a message for you. One way. Okay. Dr. Robert Jeffress, who we've had on the show, has written a book called, you know, There's Only One Way to Heaven. It's like, is it really? Is there really only one way? Yes. Now watch how dumb this is. I'm gonna break this down. Heaven is God's house. Okay. Not a lot of people are going to argue with that. Do you tell somebody when you're coming over, I'm coming in your side door? Do you tell them that? No, you do not. In fact, if they need you to come through the garage, they say, come through the garage. I'll leave the light on, watch all the stuff, don't trip. Or if they say, come in the back door. Or if they say, come through the front door. Or if they say any of those things, because they tell you how to get into their house. Well, heaven is God's house. You don't tell God how you're going in His house. He tells you how you're getting in. Jesus is the door. Okay. So just take that apologetic and drop it off there, because there's nothing else to say. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then you got old TV commentators who aren't even on TV anymore going, well, he didn't mean that. 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, well, he didn't mean that. See Dick Run. Well, he didn't mean that. Okay. You think, well, that's really a you know, kind of a high attitude looking down. I'm sorry that I can read. Don't get mad at me because I read what he says. There is one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. How many? One. How many? One. I can count. What? Okay. There's one Lord. It's not. I know. You want there to be all these other ways because that makes it nicer, because everybody goes, well, a loving God would never send people to hell. First of all, our definition of love is perverted. Second of all, you telling God how he should be is so laughable. It's like, this is how you should be, God, because if I would I was God, this is how I would be. First thing you would do if you were God is win the lottery. That's the biggest problem right there. That's not how this goes. There is one Lord, Jesus Christ. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there is one way to get to heaven, Jesus Christ. And you think, well, what about the people in the Old Testament? They all looked forward to the cross. The people from now back are looking backwards to the cross. There is one entry point to the heaven, the cross. And for those that don't know, the gospel was preached in the Old Testament. People need to read their Bibles. Look at Romans and Galatians. You find out it was preached. And those who accept and acknowledge God, boom, hanging out with God. And those who rejected God, boom, rejected God. And that's how it goes. And you're thinking, well, that doesn't seem fair. I love that line that it doesn't seem fair, because it makes me think, what are you going to do when you face God? Tell him it's not fair? As you are being dropped into hell? I mean, that's just so dumb. This is his planet. It's his story. It's Mother Earth. It's not Mother Earth. It's God's footstool. And he'll let you know how it's going to go. You can either say yes or no. Your call. But you're not going to win the argument with the Lord. So there's one Lord, one faith. And when we talk about that faith, we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then to the Greek, or to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, depending on whether you're in the East Coast or the West Coast. Here's the bottom line in that. I had Tierra print this out for me just because I wanted to have this in verse 3. Jude, verse 3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write to you to urge you to contend for the faith that was once entrusted to God's holy people. There's one faith. There's not, let's use this faith of Christianity and let's mix in some New Age stuff because it sounds cool. And that doesn't work that way. There's one Lord, and there's one faith. And there are people that would pervert that faith. Do you think the people that pervert the faith are people who are diligent, seeking God, or are they people that are seeking fame? They're utilizing television to grow their own little kingdoms. Just think about it. People will do whatever it is to get accepted by other people, especially in the media realm, in order to gain more followers and more viewers, and because they don't care about eternity. They don't care about the truth. They care about having more followers. And it's like, you know what? You gotta be aware of that. You can't be ashamed of the gospel. And if people don't like that you have a diligent faith, too bad. This, I was in Bible college. When I was getting my master's degree, we had this class. Oh, my goodness. I it's so hard because it was an online distance class, and I wanted to pop through the internet and smack every person that was writing on the head with a Bible, because their whole premise was, well, you can't really use the Bible to give you definitions of what a faith should be because society tells you. And it's like, look, the truth does not bend to culture. Okay, culture always changes. Culture is one way, then it's another way, it's a one way, and it's another way. Truth never changes. The truth stands firm. And by the way, Jesus Christ is the living truth. And in regards to how that processes, it's the truth. And if you don't like it, the answer is, ready, tough. God's not going to go, oh, they don't like my truth. I have to do it different so I'm more liked. That's not how the kingdom is working. And if you haven't figured this out, and I'll tell you this right now, and somebody asked me this, well, are more people going to hell than heaven? Yes. That's your answer. Well, that means that God lost. Well, only if you're one of those going to hell. That's all I can say. I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I'm going to do what God said. Believe what God says. I believe that God is capable of writing a book. If the dude can create the universe, he can write a book. He made it very clear. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. We just celebrated this. And it's like, this is the pathway God has established for people to get saved, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on that cross for our sins, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. It's like, and God's not up there going, what do you think? You like my option? God's not up there asking that. It's like you either accept it or reject it. That's it. And nobody has to like it. And the world doesn't have to like it. And I got a message for you. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. Because friendship with the world is at odds with God. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Because the world system is built on self. And self is built on sin. And sin is built with Satan. Yep, there you go. So if you want to connect to Satan, self, or sin, then just reject God. It's pretty easy. Or you can say, oops, and that's where you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He saves you from Satan, from sin, and from yourself, and from the world system. That's the whole point. One Lord, one faith. And here's the part of it. It's not that the faith doesn't have cool different elements in it. It's just that the faith can't be what you decide to cook up. So I'll tell you this story and then we'll close out. I think you've got like a minute or 2 minutes, something like that. So every once in a while, because Noel works really hard, and especially we did this a little more in California, I would try and cook. Now, there's a lot of good things that I try to do. I'm pretty good at sports. I'm pretty good at working out. I'm pretty good at theology, good at debating, good at writing papers. You know, I mean, summa cum laude. It's not like I don't know how to do it. Cooking, not in that realm. So you know what I do every once in a while? So we'll have like rice, and I'll take the rice and I'll heat the rice up in the microwave, and then I go into the refrigerator and I grab every sauce I can find. And I try to make some new sauce out of it. Like, you dump this, and you dump this, and you dump this. Now, I've only told this once before. I always have a hidden secret. I always have honey somewhere so that if it's a complete mess, if you throw honey in it, yeah, how bad's it going to be, right? But I try to develop some kind of new sauce by throwing it. That's what people do with faith. And guess what? Inevitably, because I think I've done this for my wife about 10 times, 11 times she said, stop cooking. Not even 10, 11. Why? Because it's so bad. It's so bad. And that's what people do with their faith. They think they can just slap in this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to add this. And it's like, wrong. It's Jesus sauce. That's the faith. If you don't like it, starve. You think that is so mean. Yes, it is. I'm so tired of this. You got to be political correctness. That one thing I said to Franklin Graham is it's absolutely true. Political correctness is man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. It's disgusting. It's what will drive the nation and the world straight into the toilet. But as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, it's okay by me. It just means the Lord's coming back sooner. Okay. All right. Should I exit here? Is this a good place? Yeah. Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him.
He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Check out our website, davidspoonmedia.com. Let us know your opinions on some of the different ministry phrases. Maybe one of our ministry phrases are, that guy is mean. It's not that I'm trying to be mean, but you listen to this stuff for ages and ages, and you just sit there and you go, I mean, it's just like at some point, somebody's just got to go, okay, enough time. I mean, do you ever watch a movie and after maybe 40 or 50 minutes of it, you're like going, oh my goodness. There's not enough popcorn. There's not enough Junior Mints. Not enough Milk Duds. There's not enough Goobers that can get me through this that makes me happy. There's
not. That's why I turn it off.
Yeah, it's just like at some point you got to go, that's enough. I've had enough. So sometimes you get that way. I get that way from time to time. So if it offends you, I apologize. I don't mean to offend anybody. I mean to offend everybody equally. That's my goal. It should be straight across the board. All right, it's having fun. So here's the bottom line. We've been talking about unity and the different foundations of unity, which Paul established in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. He makes it very clear that there's an exhortation to unity in verses 4 through 6 in Ephesians. He explains what those unity factors are. What are those characteristics of the unity? One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, and there's two more, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. So the one on the baptism and one on God and Father of all, so there's seven total. So just if you listen to what I'm going to say, one body, one spirit, ding, 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 one hope, one Lord, ding, 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 one faith, one baptism, and one God the Father. So the Spirit, the Son, and the Father are all listed as to three of these seven essential unities. Then you have the body, then you have the hope, then you have the faith, and then you have baptism. And we're going to say a couple things about baptism in just a second, because there are different takes on that word and different takes on the approach. There's some theology that says, well, really, it's one baptism with different aspects, and the people will say different things. And it's like, nah, you read that. You don't really get that. You don't get that sense. I don't feel like God, when he was writing the book, book was going, I know, we'll confuse them all. I'm not sure that's what God was doing when he was writing the book. I think baptism is a very specific declaration of the faith. There are some denominations that think that the process of regeneration takes place in the water. I understand that. I understand that they think that. I don't agree with that, but I personally have not made that an issue of fellowship. I think the idea behind baptism is it is a radically different, or was a radically different, initiating action that made a declaration of one's faith. And it's pretty specific. It's an outward response to an inward work. I don't think that if you look at 1 Peter 3:21, you can really interpret that differently. I don't think you can come up with 1 Corinthians 1:17 where Paul said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I don't think you can change that to make it fit a theology. But I think what has happened is that people get so uptight and defensive in apologetics that they go the other way. Oh, well, you don't need to be baptized at all. Baptism is not important at all. It's like, yes, it is. When you get baptized, you're making a declaration to the entire world, to the seen world and the unseen world. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. That's what baptism is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a full underneath. That's the death, the burial, the resurrection, all of those actions in the one baptism. It's not the end of the universe. If somebody takes a huge, by the way, the word baptismo actually means to be over, not just overwhelmed, but really overwhelmed. So if I took a 20-gallon bucket of blue dye and threw it in your face, okay, technically that would be a baptism, just so you can know. I mean, that's a lot there. Now, if I took a squirt gun and hit you with it, it wouldn't be a baptism. See, there's a big difference there. But the idea that it's not important, that's ridiculous. Of course it's important. Of course, at Acts chapter 2, when the people asked Peter, what do I got to do? What's our next step? They said, well, you got to believe, you got to be baptized, you got to become a part of the system. And they did. And there were thousands of people that got baptized. I'd like to see the logistics on that because I bet that was a nightmare. But then sometimes denominations go a little too far. And when that exact thing happened again in Acts chapter 3, baptism is not even mentioned. And yet Peter was telling them how to get saved. So I think if people would stop going too far left and too far right, land where you're comfortable, but try not to pull the rug out from under other people, we'd do better. But look, if you haven't been baptized, it's a good proclamation and declaration of your faith, and I'm just going to assume you're not ashamed to be a Christian. I mean, I'm going on that assumption. If you're ashamed, that's a whole other issue, and maybe you're not ready for baptism because maybe you're not saved. That's different, okay? But if you're a person who's been saved and everybody around you is always like, poo-pooed the baptism, oh, big deal. You get baptized. It's a open declaration to the reality and the truth of your faith, and you should be baptized, for it's commanded. So you should be doing it. So we talk about one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is where it comes down to the biggest unifying factor that you can really find in the Christian faith. And remember, these are seven unity foundational reasons why we're already unified. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Why? Because God is your Father. Now, that you can get upset about what I'm going to say here. Okay, that part's fine. But he's our dad. And dad is dad to all the people of the faith. So we all have the same dad. We all are blood relatives because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we all drink the same Holy Spirit drink. There's a lot of unity right there. And we need to hang on to that. Because what's going to happen is you can see it happening in the news today with Christianity Today and the Christian Post. They're already, the enemy is sowing seeds of division and discord amongst all the people in order to split up, divide and conquer. Hey, you know what? Scripture says keep the unity. And then it says this in regards to God, the Father of all. It says, Father of all, who's over all, through all, and in all. Over all means sovereignty. Through all means it's his plan. And in all means it's his deep interactions. All three have a play, have a purpose in our lives. The overall is God's overall sovereignty. The through all is his plan for everybody. And the in all is his deep interaction. This is referring to believers. But having God as our Father is one of the great unifying factors. And when Jesus prayed, what did he say in Matthew 6? Our Father, not my Father, our Father. Unifying believers under one umbrella. And he called him Father. So for those that are like, well, God should be gender neutral. That's not how he defined himself. Well, that's how he should be. Well, you tell him that he made a mistake defining himself. Go ahead. You go tell God he's wrong. Let me know how that goes. And when you come back walking funny, maybe you see what I'm saying? It's like, come on. But you don't understand. He's neither this nor this. I love it when human beings who are finite tell the infinite what it is. Okay, stop that. Here's the bottom line. These are great elements of unity for believers. And as the persecution increases, and no matter what you tell me, as you look, you know, there's some people are like, well, with Donald Trump and president, we're having less persecution. So sorry, the persecutions around the world for Christians and Jews has increased worldwide and is on another record-setting pace. It's been doubling. You think the Christians in China are thinking everything's a cakewalk? Probably not, huh? And so you have to get a handle on that your brothers and your sisters worldwide are your brothers and your sisters because you have one Father. And these are the people we should be praying for and we should be standing by because they're going to change how this works in the simplicity of it. And if you don't see that already happening, you're probably not paying attention too much. One body, one spirit. One hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's over all, through all, and in all. Paul starts off by talking about unity and gives us the exhortation. Then he gives us, in this portion, the explanation. That's what you got to hang on to. That's what you got to use. All right, we're breaking out of here. And here's the bottom line. Tomorrow I got Johnny Hill joining me. We should have a really good time. We'll be giving away some stuff. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.